for my ally is the Force. And the powerful ally it is, life creates it, makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us. Luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. You must feel the Force around you. Here, between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Bad feeling about this.
Welcome to episode 312 of Blue Harvest. I'm your host, Halls Burkhardt.
And I'm your host, Will Witten.
And, buddy, we got some fun shit to talk about this week. I'm glad you're back. We missed you last week.
It's good to be back.
I was bummed
I had to miss last week.
I had a good time talking to our buddy King Tom. Fill the mighty shoes of one Mr. Will Witten.
Which I am very grateful for.
So, we'll be talking about a really good episode of Bad Batch. We'll be talking some Bad Batch announcements that happened today. We'll be talking about the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel, which announced pricing and shit for this week.
Oh, God. Your firstborn child.
Yep. And some other cool stuff. And, of course, we'll be hearing from our friends, our moisture farmer buddies. Before we get to all that, how has your week been, buddy?
It's been great. Last week I couldn't make it because we had like a family trip with my wife's family, you know, and it's the first time we've ever gone to the beach with them. So it was good to spend time with them and see them as family, just hang out for a little bit. And then we came back.
What sort of beach did you go to?
We went to Orange Beach, which is basically Gulf Shores.
Yeah. Right next to each other. Yeah. That's cool, man. It's been a while since I've been to the beach.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, for them, it's a little weird. You know, in the middle of a pandemic, it's hard to do much of the out, you know, like the goofy golf or the arcades or the go-karts and stuff. And they had a, you know, they have kids that are a little bigger than ours, so they wanted to go really bad. But that was really the only difference. You know, other than that, you know me, it's the beach. I'm happy to do nothing but either be on the beach or the condo.
Yeah.
You know, the whole time. So, yeah, that was great for me.
A vacation where you just don't do shit? Yeah, that sounds awesome,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah.
So, I have had quite the week. So, Monday morning, right?
Yeah.
My alarm goes off 5:30 in the morning, time to get ready, get up for work. And I wake up and realize, without even checking, that I'm running a fever. I know how I feel when I'm running a fever. I get the chills really bad.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit. What? Why am I running a fever? So I go and check, and sure enough, I'm running close to like a little bit over a 101, right? It's not crazy high, but definitely a fever for me.
Noticeable.
And I'm like, all right, well, let's went around the house, and I did the fucking home COVID test. Like, I smelled something. I tasted something. I was like, all right. I can taste and smell all right, and I don't have a sore throat, don't seem to have a cough, but you know me, I'm pretty, at this point, I'm like, shit, I got a breakthrough case of
I'm
COVID.
I'm dying.
So, I hang out, send out word that I'm going to be going to the doctor that morning, so, you know, for work and stuff. Wait a little while, let Jesse know, figure out where I'm going to go. And as the day goes, as the morning goes on, because, you know, it's still a couple hours before I can go. The doctor's office I'm going to isn't going to open till 8. I didn't figure this was a emergency room type situation.
Mm-hmm.
So as the day goes on, I'm pretty convinced that it's not COVID and it's probably like a kidney infection, because I'm sort of prone to those. I used to get them a lot more when I was a kid. It's frankly been probably over a decade since I've had one.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I sort of started to become convinced it was. It started to get achy and, you know, just started to feel like I couldn't not be thirsty. I was just super, super thirsty. And so we go to the doctor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And two things happen. First thing that happens is I am, of course, wearing a Star Wars shirt, right? Wearing a Return of the Jedi shirt specifically.
Right.
And they call me back, and Jesse and I are going back to the back. And, you know, the guy, like the nurse that takes your vitals and stuff before they put you in a room. He goes, "Hey, I like your shirt." And I'm like, "Thanks." And he goes, "That's one of the only three good ones. All the other ones are fucking trash."
That's a good way to start.
And I was like, "Oh, yes. Yes. This is what I'm looking for."
Shots fired. And across the bow while I feel like garbage.
Yeah, and I was just like, and it's, you know, I'm not going to say anything. I'm
right, not engaging.
Trying to get this fucking encounter with over as quickly as possible.
A little you don't say, and is yeah. that so?
Just, no, don't even acknowledge it. Just stay quiet.
Little Bob's Burgers.
Yeah. Just, So I get back there. They give me a quick COVID test. You know. Oh, no. So anyways, I get a COVID test, right?
Right.
Pee in an old cup. Comes back. COVID test negative. They sent off a longer one, you know, just to be safe, because the quick tests aren't super reliable all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
The long one, you know, eventually does come back negative, so I'm good. But I do have a UTI. I have a kidney infection. So, you know, they prescribe me some antibiotics, give me a shot. And the doctor's talking to me. He goes, "Hey, are you circumcised?" And I go, yes, sir. And then he proceeds to tell me, "Well, that's good to know, because if you weren't, this is how you would have to clean your dick." And then proceeds to tell me about, you know, pulling the old skin back, cleaning the cheese off your dick and shit. And I was like, "Hey, man, this is all extra information. We didn't need to pass go and collect $200 on this, man." Yeah,
I told you I was good.
Yeah.
He said, "Just in case you're lying to me."
Yeah. And I was like, "Hey,
just in case you got the old anteater.
This is something I've been prone to since I was a kid. My kidneys aren't the greatest. That's the issue here, man. It's not dirty dick syndrome, sir." Sir. I mean, man's looking at me like, "This dude got a dirty ass dick." I just,
he said,
"Know
say it
him.
With me, some magma."
So that's what I've been dealing with all this week. Feeling rough, especially those first couple of days on antibiotics. Man, they have been making me feel not great.
Yeah, I was a little worried about you.
And then, you know what I've been drinking?
What's that?
That fucking pure ass 100% cranberry juice.
Ooh, nice. It
tastes like the fuel that fucking made the DeLorean travel through time and shit, plutonium.
That's that premium unleaded for your kidneys.
Woof. That shit is rough. Man. Not
the, you be getting the one that's the no sugar added?
Oh, yeah. Just pure.
That was tart. That's the one I like, but it's the one that it's, you know, it's like high octane, you know, cranberry juice. There is no sugar involved.
Pure unsweetened cranberry juice.
It's tart. You have to prepare your mouth for it.
Woo, you got to prepare everything for it. I feel like I got to do a ritual and get my mind right before I dive into that bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Man. So, not the greatest week in Hallsville, but I think I'm finally turning the corner. Today and yesterday, I've felt a little bit better. Today's probably been the best day so far.
Good.
So hopefully, continue on that path.
Absolutely.
I was just glad that it wasn't COVID, man. Because, you know, hopefully what would happen is the vaccine would do the job and I wouldn't get seriously ill. But you know how anxious I would be.
Yes, I do.
And not just that. By the way, last night, I was sitting on the couch working. I was like, man, my arm itches. Did I get bitten by something? And I pull up the sleeve of my shirt and I'm breaking out in fucking stress hives.
Oh, my goodness.
Another thing that I'm sort of prone to that hasn't happened in a really long time. So luckily, I caught it early. Jesse gave me some Benadryl and got that taken care of. Or it would have been another trip to the doctor.
Dude, you need a vacation.
Whew. You are not lying.
You need some de-stressing time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, before we jump into all our news and stuff, hey, if you guys are listening and you are so inclined, you should follow us on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Blue Harvest Pod. If you really enjoy the show and you want to support us for as little as $3 a month, you can at Blue Harvest Podcast on Twitter. Oh, fuck me, man. Fuck me.
That's not the Twitter.
Fuck my nuts, man. All right. You can support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Blue Harvest Podcast. And what happens when you sign up there? You get exclusive access to our Patreon RSS feed where we post all kinds of bonus podcasts. I've been putting up immediate reactions to Bad Batch episodes. We got Cooking with Will, Oh No, It's Han Solo, Jaws, Podula Rasa, Masters of Harvest Kassi, Blue Harvest Adventure, Star Wars Year by Podcast, and a whole lot more. So go check that out if you haven't already. And a big shout out to our patrons. You guys are the best. So, buddy, you're talking about needing a vacation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you about a place that I will not be vacationing at anytime soon, as much as I would love to. And that is the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel in Orlando, Florida. The Star Wars Hotel that they've officially announced as opening in spring of 2022. So, you know, this is something we've talked about before, something that we knew was coming, that they've been working on for a little while. But this week we got some concrete information, including pricing. So do you want me to... how do you want me to approach this? Do you want me to just rip the Band-Aid off and tell you the pricing?
Let's go bottom. Can you go bottom up?
Like,
is there a base package and then like primo, ultra, mega?
Okay, so there's three prices listed. And okay. I'll tell you, all of these are for standard cabins on the Galactic Star Cruiser. These are not for, they have some sort of premium cabin. I have not seen any pricing information on that.
Okay, well, right. That's good to keep in mind. These are standard cabins.
Standard cabins. And by the way, this is just estimates for voyage departure dates most weeknights, August 20th, 2022 to September 17th, 2022. So this isn't like, you know, peak summertime vacation season.
How many days is season. That?
This is for two. You're
2 days.
It's a two-night stay. The experience is two nights.
Two nights.
So let's say...
So basically one day.
No.
Because when you say two nights, you get there one day, and that's a night.
Well, okay. We'll go over all that in just a second.
Okay.
So two guests per cabin for two nights is $1,209 per guest per night for a total of $4,809.
So $4,809.
Yes, and that's before fees and taxes. So basically over $5,000.
So 5 G's for two nights in the Starliner on standard room.
Yeah.
Now, if it's a liner, like possibly you wouldn't have a view if you are in an interior room, right? Like,
No. So all cabins come with a view to space. They have a window in them that looks out on space.
Okay. All right.
That's just standard in every cabin. We'll okay. go over what this price gets you. All right.
Okay.
Three guests per cabin, two adults, one child, $889 per guest per night for a total of $5,299. $5,299.
Okay.
Four guests per cabin, three adults, one child, $749 per guest per night for a total of $5,999.
I'm hearing basically 5 to 6 G's.
Yeah. And by the way, I'd like to clarify once again, this was for an estimate for weeknights, August 20th to September 17th. So if you're going in the summer, if you're going probably during the holidays, that's just going to be more expensive. Spring break time, more expensive.
Right.
Okay. This is what it says it includes. Ready? Price based on a cabin room at Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. The number of packages available is limited. All packages are two-night experiences. Packages include entry to Disney Hollywood Studios for one day on day two of your experience. This admission ticket expires at midnight, blah, 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 blah. Packages, okay, this is the other stuff it includes. Package includes two breakfasts, two lunch, and two dinner meals per guest, with gratuity included for dinners, and one quick service meal consisting of one entree and either one non-alcoholic beverage, or if age 21 or over, one alcoholic beverage, or for guests age 3, one combo meal. So basically, you get a meal at Galaxy's Edge, a quick service okay. meal. So you get two breakfasts, two lunch, two dinners, and a meal at Galaxy's Edge. And then you also get your choice of hand job from a selection of R2 units.
Nice.
You get a custom Polaroid of George Lucas in his flannel underpants.
Oh, nice.
You get a copy of the unused George Lucas script treatment for the sequel trilogy.
Oh, now that's why you pay the big money.
And for an extra $1,500, Harrison Ford will show up and spit in your mouth.
Oh.
So, you know, I don't know. It seems like a pretty good deal.
Look at me.
So, yeah, it's fucking expensive. We knew this. Like, I don't know why. I even feel like when we originally talked about this, that it was going to be, for some reason, I kind of remember the $3,000 range being thrown around, and I can't remember if that was just people speculating or what, but even back then, we knew this shit was going to be expensive, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you wanted to know what a standard cabin entails?
Yes.
It's got a queen bed, two berth bunk beds, and a wall pull-down bed, mini refrigerator, hair dryer, in-cabin safe, phone with voicemail messaging, interactive TV, and some fucking shower products. And it says, imagine waking up inside of a Star Wars story, your own Star Wars story. Relax in comfort and gaze out your cabin or suite window as ships, planets, stars, and other breathtaking galactic sights float past on a majestic canvas of the cosmos. The Star Cruiser features 100 well-appointed cabins and suites, each one radiating an atmosphere of elegant style, comfort, and exclusivity. Yeah, yeah, exclusivity. Your Star Wars
stories. Do you think there's a screen per room on like the exterior, or do you think it's like a giant interior projection? You know, to where all the rooms share the same view.
Buddy, I have a feeling it's probably just a gussied up fucking LCD TV that looks like a window. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, that's what, if I had to guess. And it probably displays the same thing to every quote-unquote window, right?
Yeah, I figured. I figured everybody would have the same view. It would just be neat if it was, you know, you go out onto your balcony and, I don't know, like a projection the size of the side of a ship, you know, is projecting the galaxy and all the stuff that comes
by. Oh, buddy, there ain't no balconies, I don't think, you know?
Right, it's just probably a portal.
Yeah.
Portal.
So they put up like a sample itinerary for how this all goes down, right? So let me just... So day one, you arrive at terminal... at 1 p.m., you launch pod Star Cruiser 1 p.m. 1:15 to 1:30. There's a ship orientation from 1:45 to 2:15. Light refreshments from 3 to 3:30. Sabacc lessons from 3:30 to 4. Muster, whatever the fuck that is. 4 to 4:30. Captain's reception. Dinner featuring live music. Outer Rim regalia. Unexpected story moments. For example, you might prove your mettle to join an elite smuggling ring or hide a stowaway to help the resistance. Bridge training and special atrium entertainment. And then day two, breakfast, transport shuttle to Batu. You ride Rise of the Resistance. You ride Smuggler's Run. Lunch at Docking Bay 7. Take your transport shuttle back to the hotel. Lightsaber training from 1 to 1:30. You remember that cool lightsaber video I showed you?
Yeah.
That's where that's going to be put into use.
Wow.
Droid racing competition. Build model ship. Sabacc tournament. Cocktails at the Sublight Lounge. Taste around the galaxy dinner. And a spectacular finale. And then the next morning... breakfast, and they kick your ass out by 10 a.m.
Oh, wow.
So, that is an expensive Star Wars. I mean, would I like to go? Of course.
Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah, spend 2 days pretending I'm in Star Wars? Get out of town. Get out of town.
Jesse would be like, I'm going to go do Disney World. He's like, all right, I'm going to stay here at the hotel and just chill on the Starliner.
Yeah.
I might make it to Galaxy's Edge. Call me when you go there.
Oh, I mean, I would part of it is admission to the park and stuff. So I definitely
do. Oh, I know. That's
do.
What I'm saying. Like, you wouldn't even go. You would just...
I would, especially if I had yet to be to Galaxy's Edge. But on the other hand, I don't think I want that to be my first experience going to Galaxy's Edge either. Because I kind of feel like I would want to spend more time there and do more Disney stuff than just 3 hours of Galaxy's Edge. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Regardless, though, maybe one day they're gonna have to do a Groupon. I'm gonna have to get a good Groupon deal. Maybe I'll.
We need to get. I'm sure somebody from Lucasfilm has heard us and found us wanting, but like, we need to get the hookup in there so we can be like, oh, we're journalists. Wink, wink.
Buddy, like, I love your optimism. I do. And, yeah, that would be fucking cool. Like, man, it would be cool. But that shit ain't going to happen.
Oh, I know.
We got a song about Ki Adi Mundi's head looking like a giant dick. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I told a story about pooping my pants and how a doctor was telling me about how a man that's uncircumcised cleans his cheese dick. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
we're not the type.
We're a thanks but no thanks opportunity.
Yeah. I can't even get accepted for press passes for Star Wars Celebration, right? And that shit
then
ain't $5,000 for two nights.
Like, no.
No, man. No, that's
But hey, I am's what I am.
A man can dream, but that is a dream to be unfulfilled. Hey, you should come as press to Star Wars Cruiser. And I'm just fucking, like, on the podcast talking about, this shit is cool. They're like, no, we were looking for something more in the lines of what Peter, Soretta, and Kitra do. You know, nice family, wholesome entertainment, no F-bombs or dick jokes. Maybe I'll finally sell my fucking Black Series and muster up a tenth of the cost.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a chunk. That's a chunk of savings right there.
You'd be surprised. I bet it'd go for more than you'd think.
Start selling Star Cruiser plasma. Show up to the plasma place and they'll be like, no thank you.
Yeah, you no, could thank donate you, sir. Plasma once a week. You could take it to the bank too, make deposits at the bank.
How would making deposits at the bank get me money?
I meant the spank bank.
Oh, buddy, ain't no. They'll pay me not to come. I show up and they'll be like, no, sir. No, sir. They'd have to be really hard up to want that. They'd be like, oh, we just don't have any for donors anymore. We got to take this guy. And they're like, why are you here? I want to go to the Star Wars hotel. Can I please jerk off into this cup?
Oh.
Don't worry. The doctor told me how to clean my dick. I don't need to know how to clean my dick. I don't have dirty dick. That's not the issue.
It's not an aardvark. It's not.
Jesse's standing here watching me. Jesse, do I have dirty dick?
No.
Hey, could
not
you...
Not right now.
Jesse, please. Could
the
you,
doctor told you how to clean it.
Could you be a little more convincing with that answer? You sounded like you were in a hostage situation. Come here. Do I have dirty dick?
Absolutely not.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, she was completely honest there, I swear. It may not have sounded like it. Whew. So you want to know something cool, something that I will get to experience. They announced today that Star Wars The Bad Batch has been renewed for season 2.
I mean, it's about time, because that shit is on fire, I feel like.
Yeah, man. Well, I was a little worried. I mean, I always forget how this sort of thing works. Like, I can't remember like the time frame for them announcing seasons, following seasons of Rebels, or how they announced, you know, the second season of Resistance and stuff. So I just was wondering, like, is this supposed to be a one-off season? I think the fact that Resistance was only 2 seasons had me a little gun shy, you know, when especially I felt like Resistance could have gone on for.
I mean, it had just started to set itself up, you know.
Yeah. It just went by so quick. I could have gone for another season or two of Resistance. So I was just a little nervous because I've been enjoying Bad Batch so much. So to have them come out today and announce that there is a second season and it's coming next year in 2022, that was super cool. I was super stoked about that.
And that is cool.
Buddy, that means next year is going to be packed with Star Wars content. So we get Bad Batch season 2, right?
Right.
We get Andor. We get Obi-Wan Kenobi. And
Mando
seemingly
season 3.
Mando season 3, all in the same year.
That's too much.
Well,
my brain might explode.
That and High Republic stuff and Marvel content and... there's just going to be a lot going on next year. And then, you know, rolling into 2023, it looks like we'll be getting The Acolyte and whatever they'll, like, probably, I would guess maybe Ahsoka by then.
Ahsoka.
And whatever the else. And obviously, you know, 2023 sort of is capped off as of right now with Rogue Squadron. That'll be coming in December of that year. So, yeah, man, it's not too long.
And that's Patty Jenkins, right?
Yes. That is not too long before we are just coated in Star Wars goo.
Mm. The only kind you want to be coated
in. I don't know
in.
Why I put it that way.
I don't either. But I was going with it.
I don't know. It's the antibiotics, man. I'm just in a silly, goofy mood.
You're a silly goose.
These antibiotics have me off my... Phew. All this talk of dirty dick has me sweating.
It's like you got one or something.
No, no, I don't, man. Come on. Come on. Like, that's not only a diss against me, it's a diss against Jesse, too. What about Jesse? Seems like the kind of lady that would put up with a dirty dick dude, you know?
No, she made you wash it before she got near it.
I regularly wash it, man. I shower all the time, and I wash my dick.
Just remember, you gotta peel it back and wash behind.
Yeah,
man.
But I don't gotta worry about that, man. That's not a concern.
I'm just playing. I'm sorry. Oh. You make it too easy.
What did you think about last week's Bad Batch?
I thought it was balls to the walls. And I mean, it leaves on a cliffhanger where I don't know what's about to happen.
Man. Eh. So, you know, you weren't here to talk about the episode before, which, you know, I still enjoyed, but I felt what might have been like the weakest episode of the season.
So far. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like I walked away from it being like, that episode was awful, but it was just, you know, kind of a one-off.
The guy trying to muscle in on what's-her-name's bar, right?
Right. And then, you know, going into this episode, you figure the stakes are about to jump up considering we're getting so close to the end of this season. You know, at this point, we've got two episodes left with the first part of the finale coming on, you know, late tonight, early tomorrow. So, you know, I was expecting for this one to be a pretty big episode, but man, I think this might have been my favorite episode so far.
I mean, it's everything's on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is coming to fruition. The main storyline with Crosshair.
Yeah, and
there
like,
is some cryptic stuff in there that makes me nervous.
Okay, so what is it?
Well, when Crosshair is talking to his handler, he's basically like, you know, look, the plan's been put in place. Everything's in order. And like by the end of the episode, you assume that was that he had set the trap with Gregor to try to lure in the Bad Batch and only got Hunter, right? He was hoping to catch all of them. Well, the thing is, either Gregor is just bait and doesn't know it, or Gregor is in on it.
So I don't think Gregor is in on it because, you know, Gregor is one of the...
You don't get that feeling.
Well, you know, and also in Rebels, when they meet up with Rex, Gregor is one of the other clones that's hanging out with Rex.
Right.
So you figure if, I mean, you know...
If they go through all that trouble to rescue him just because Rex said so, he's going to be legit.
Right, and you also figure, like, if he screwed people over, like, I don't know that Rex would still be hanging out with him that many years later. You know? Right. So I kind of feel like Gregor was kind of bait. I got to say, the reveal of the TK troopers and the Ralph McQuarrie concept art style armor, fucking cool, man. And
really cool.
You know I'm a big fan of Republic Commando. So
I was about to say, the Republic Commandos were whipping ass.
Yeah, and one of the characters from the game, Republic Commando, Scorch, made a cameo in this. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean it's Scorch, but it was a character in his armor, like with the same pattern and stuff. So, you know, it was sort of implied to be Scorch. Something I didn't catch on the first episode, and when I was doing my Patreon recording, I was like, watch, somebody's going to come out tomorrow and be like, hey, did you notice this Republic Commando Easter egg we slipped into the episode? And that's exactly what happened. Someone pointed it out in the Patreon comments. I was like, fucking knew that's what was gonna happen, man.
Knew it. Called it.
Another cool detail that was I've seen being passed around online. So you know the episode was called War Mantle, right? And this project they're working on is Project War Mantle. So do you remember in Rogue One, when it's toward the end, and it's when Jyn and Cassian are looking through the Imperial database looking for the Death Star plans, and she's reading off like all the different
project
names. And she's like Project Pax Aurora and stuff like that. One of the ones she reads off, Project War Mantle.
War Mantle.
Which is the project from this episode.
Right.
Isn't that kind of neat? Like, obviously, that was written to reference that moment in Rogue One, but I like when they do that shit.
Right.
I really like when they do that shit. So I thought that was cool.
I still don't understand what's going on at that base. Does that make sense? Or is it just a training center for TKs?
I think that's what it is. I think they're using clone commandos to train TKs.
Because it felt like maybe there was something more sinister going on there than just a training base. But I guess that's all it really needs to be.
Well, it could. I mean, we could find out, I guess, in the next couple of episodes that there's more going on there. But given what we saw in this episode, it seems to just be a training facility, right?
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Would it surprise me if something else turns out to be going on? No. But, and, you know, like, for an episode that was essentially your classic break into this place, rescue this person, and escape episode, fucking solid.
And if you will notice, they were whipping ass.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the clones were setting down every trooper they came across.
And did you notice?
Until it came to the commando, obviously.
Did you notice they were fucking just using stun shots the whole time?
They have this whole season, if you've noticed. Since they left the Empire, they haven't fired, like, live ammunition.
They should.
All season, they've been using stun shots.
They should. Because it's clear that these TK troopers and the clone commanders,
they're not brothers.
They do not have the same regard for them.
Well, this is part of their arc to good guys.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And you can't have your good guys. You know, this is not Daredevil. Not Daredevil, Deadpool. Or Daredevil, honestly. Daredevil's been known to kill some people, hasn't he?
And I got to say, another phenomenal looking episode.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Crazy good looking, man. I love what they're doing with the animation. You know, I kind of was talking about it with King Tom. The episode before kind of felt like they maybe cut some corners budget-wise in that episode. You know, they kept a lot of things in the dark and
probably in order to pay for this one.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you're making a 16-episode season, some concessions may have to be made as far as budget's concerned. It makes sense. Yeah. So,
which, now that I think about it, it's probably why there wasn't a whole bunch of racing in Resistance.
Probably not. Probably not.
Which is sad, though, if you're going to make a racing show. Anyway, that's not what we're discussing.
So, you know, to go from that episode to this one that has, like, they had just looked so fucking cool, and like we got to see the V-wings whipping around and chasing them, and then poor fucking Hunter gets captured by the old Toothpick McGee. I got a bad feeling about this. How do you think this is going to go? Do you think our buddies in the Bad Batch get out unscathed? Do you think they defeat Crosshair? Do you think they find some way to get Crosshair to turn back? What do you think we got in store here in this two-part finale?
I don't know. It all depends, because knowing that we have a second season now, I imagine this season ends with a play towards Crosshair's consciousness. Not conscious, conscience, sorry. And that weighs on him for season two.
I kind of get that feeling too.
You might have a turn back, or him trying to get rid of his chip, season two ish. But I think he's gonna stay. You know, I think he's gonna stay bad. I worry about Hunter, honestly.
Yeah,
I don't really want Hunter to bite the dust.
I don't want any of them to, and I'm worried.
I was worried when something was wrong with Wrecker.
I kind of feel like what's gonna happen is the rest of the Bad Batch are going to take Gregor to meet up with Rex, and then they will all together come up with a plan to try and rescue Hunter. Whether that's successful or not, I don't know, but I kind of feel like that's going to happen. I kind of feel like Gregor and Rex will probably be along for the ride in the last two episodes, right?
Yeah.
And I do kind of wonder, do we end this season like sort of wrapped up, not meaning like the whole story's over, or does the season end on a cliffhanger of some sort?
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Lots of questions. I do feel like you're probably right where the crosshair situation is probably not wrapped up, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that will continue on. And then my big question is, what the fuck do they want with the Kaminoans? Like, you know how at the end of the episode, they basically tell them, like, we don't need you to clone soldiers. We don't need
I don't need a politician.
I need a scientist.
Well, what are the troopers? Are the dark troopers from the Mandalorian purely mechanical, or do they have some biological element?
I think
if they have the Force.
Well, I don't think they do have the Force.
Oh, okay. I thought they were some sort of.
That was. There was some kind of version of the dark troopers in the EU, I believe.
Oh, okay. Maybe
they
that's
were
where
Force imbued stormtroopers or something. But I think, though, they're just robots, right? In the Mandalorian. Okay. Between seeing the...
Maybe that's how we get Grogu.
Well, no, because Grogu was rescued from the temple, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
I honestly feel like between this, like with them wanting the Kaminoans for their cloning and their science, and then seeing those tanks in that episode of The Mandalorian that had the weird fucked up things growing in them, and Moff Gideon wanting Grogu's blood because of his M count. Buddy, I think this is all sort of going to tie into the whole Palpatine thing. Palpatine and Exegol and Episode 9 and all that shit.
Interesting.
I think that's just eventually where it leads. Like, I think even... And if that's the case, it's kind of interesting to think that, like, even back as far as after the end of the Clone Wars, Palpatine is starting to work on this idea of, like, yo, I need clones of myself in case this shit goes south, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's a very AD&D, old school D&D notion.
Mm-hmm.
The clone. Clone self. When something bad happened to you, the new one will just pop out of the box.
So that's kind of what I think's going on, man. And I think they're just dancing around directly saying that. But I think, like, there's so much stuff, right, with clones and genetic experiments and strand casts and all these different things that have popped up over the last couple of years, basically since and before Episode 9. I feel like that's where this is all eventually headed. Is it's not that the only purpose the Mandalorian or Bad Batch serve is to explain that, but I think they will be part of the overall explanation, if that makes sense.
I think the concept of a strand cast is interesting, you know, to come up as a species or a villain or something, because it's basically a mutant, you know, it's basically, you know, a genetically created experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Could be whatever. It could be a chimera, could be a mutant, could be, you know, any kind of power.
So yeah.
Genetic manipulation.
That's at least what I think right now. Like, I just feel like they're teasing and they're winking and nodding at this too much for it not to be related in some way. But I guess we'll see. We'll see as all this continues on. So, hey, do you want to hear from some of our moisture farmer friends?
I do.
Let's do that then.
Kia D. Kia D. Kia D.
Cockhead! The only Jedi master who can crash box guillotine! Cockhead! Running around slaying bitches with his cockhead! He's a big Saurian stud! He loves to split chicks with his bud! Guillotine! Cockhead! To stroke his cone and suck on his balls! Guillotine! Cockhead! What you gonna do when he comes on you now? He's a Jedi Council stooge, but he'll be pumping spooge tomorrow! Cockhead! Blue Herb! Cockhead! Harsberger! Cockhead! Will Witten! Cockhead! Goose Payne! Cockhead! G-Money! Cockhead! King Tom! Cockhead! Joe! Cockhead! Key and D! Cockhead! Cockhead!
All righty. First up, we got our buddy who was filling in for Mr. Will Witten last week, our good buddy, Mr. King Tom Chansky.
Hey there, Hawes and Will. I recently did a little rewatch of The Mandalorian Season 2. Excellent, excellent thing. And one thing I noticed throughout the season and also in the, you know, the mid-credit scene, it seems as if they kind of have given Boba Fett his own little musical cue. It's, you know, when it, at the end of the season thing, he sits down on the throne and you get the music going, dum-dum, 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 and it carries on from there. And I think it's really cool. I also liked how in The Empire Strikes Back, there were a few times you saw him and they would play that kind of like radio static. Whatever it was. I like the radio static, but I also like the bump, 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 bump. Anyway, you know, because, Hawes, when I have a Boba question, always go to you first. What do you think of that? Are you okay with that for a musical cue, for a theme? And also, do you think, I don't think it's been announced yet, but do you think they're going to have Ludwig Göransson do the music for the Book of Boba, or are they going to let someone else do it? Personally, yeah, I never mind them trying new people, but at the same time, he's done such a great job with Mando. Why not let him do Boba too, especially if he came up with that theme? I don't know. Just want to see what you thought. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for the great podcast, and I'll talk with you later.
You know, I've been thinking about this a little bit lately myself, because, like, I love The Mandalorian, and I love the music in The Mandalorian, right? That opening theme and shit is so good.
It is.
Come on, the woo, 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 you know, we did it all the time. We're doing it all the time. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't, like, that is so good that, like, I want Boba to get something that cool for his series, too.
Yeah.
And I don't know,
I am
like,
not opposed to a different composer, but I really like what the dude did with The Mandalorian. So yeah. Like I would not be opposed to him doing the same.
Yeah. You
know, something for the Book of Boba.
Yeah. And as far as I know, I totally agree with you and both King Tom on that. As far as I know, there has been no announcement of any composer or anything working on the Book of Boba Fett. I'm sure we'll hear that sooner rather than later. But like, I know the theme King Tom is talking about that they play, especially there at the end of season two, and it's pretty good. I would like to hear that expanded on I don't know what fucking word I'm looking for here, man. Expand on that and make it a little cooler, a little fuller and stuff. But yeah, that's the one thing I've been kind of wondering, like, because clearly the Mandalorian, like Din Djarin, he has his theme. So we're gonna get Boba's gonna get his theme, and like, I hope it's real fucking cool. It's gonna be hard to beat that Mando theme, though, man. It is so catchy and so good.
Yeah. I mean, it's just very tribal. I think that's what gets it. Like, it's very ancient sounding, kind of. Mm-hmm. So I think it speaks to something like that in us. Or at least that's the emotion it seems to evoke.
Yeah.
But it's got a very gunslinger Western quality to it as well.
Oh, shit. You know, something I forgot to bring up. Speaking of Mandalorian Season 2, I'm glad King Tom brought it up. I'm going to send you a picture real quick. So, you know, this month on the 25th, we're getting that new Mandalorian behind the scenes episode that's basically going to talk about the last episode.
Yeah.
They put out a preview of things coming to Disney Plus this month. And this screenshot that I just sent you was in there. Take a look at that. Put that in your eye holes.
My goodness.
That's old Mark Hamill in the Return of the Jedi costume holding little Grogu. Like,
that's from the finale.
Yeah, I knew he was on set and stuff, but I did not expect that he was actually in the costume and stuff. Do you know how happy that fucking made me, man? I can't wait to see this episode. So, yeah, I hope.
It's going to be great.
I hope, you know, like maybe that that musical cue that they play at the end of season two is like a little teaser, a little hint at Boba Fett's theme for the Book of Boba Fett. But when we hear the actual thing, it's like expanded on and there's more to it, which would only make sense.
That would be great.
So I can't wait to fucking hear it though. And I do hope they use Goranson for the score. Like,
I really do too.
He did such a good job and did something so different with Star Wars, but still made it feel like Star Wars. It didn't feel like, you know, when you watch some sort of YouTube compilation and they set it to fucking modern rock music or something, and it just feels off. Like, he did something different without making it feel wrong. Like, it was just perfect, basically.
Right.
All right, now we got a voicemail from Mr. 100, Kobe.
Hey, Hawes and Will. It's your boy Kobe, aka Mr. 100. How's it hanging?
Clean.
Lately, I have had Revenge of the Sith and more specifically Order 66 on my mind. And one of the things that it's really been resurfacing in my mind grapes is the usage of something I like to call reverse plot armor that's very prevalent in Star Wars. Obviously, we all know what plot armor is. You know, when your main character goes in and probably shouldn't survive the fight or whatever that they're in, but you know they have to because they have to be in the next movie or next trilogy or however that works out. To me, the reverse plot armor is a little more devastating to storytelling because it a lot of times you build up these great characters, but at the same time, it's like, well, you know they don't make it in the next movie or trilogy or whatever, so they're going to have to die. And that's something that me as a prequel fan that I've had to deal with my whole life because I love the prequels. All my favorite characters come from the prequels, and a lot of them were built up, and then all of a sudden one day I'm like, you know what? They got to die. I mean, they're going to die. I mean, that's just the way it is. And it kind of sucks for storytelling purposes because it really limits the amount of creativity and directions you can go in with certain characters because it has to adhere to the next trilogy, which came before it. And that's something that has always resonated with me in a good or bad way. But I just want to know some examples of what you guys think, had we not had to adhere to the next trilogy in another trilogy, like say, at this point, if we didn't have to adhere to the story further down the timeline, how do you think this would have played out? Some examples I can give, I think, would be a big one would be Order 66. I don't think it would have near the success rate that it did in Revenge of the Sith. You know, there was like a 99% success rate. I mean, like almost all Jedi were killed. I don't think it would have went down that way had we not had to adhere to the original trilogy where there was, you know, no Jedi. I think a few Jedi, especially like council members, would have survived. You can't tell me that Ki-Adi wouldn't have, you know, whipped out his cock when they started firing at him and just started swinging that thing around. There's just a lot of things that I think should not have went down the way that they should have had we not had to adhere to the next trilogy. Let me know what you guys think. Give me some examples. Let's hear what you guys have to say. And then, just a real quick, haven't done this in a while, but pick a concert. Lil Wayne, Kenny Rogers, and Stone Temple Pilots. That is concert one. I'll repeat that. Lil Wayne, Kenny Rogers, Stone Temple Pilots.
Concert two.
Concert two. Jay-Z, Conway Twitty, and Pearl Jam. I'll repeat that one more time. Jay-Z, Conway Twitty, Pearl Jam. As always, you guys are the best. Keep kicking it. Keep making the best podcast and best content around. Love you guys. Check you later.
Ooh, okay, let's do the concert thing first before I forget the options.
Dude, I can't with concert number one. I just can't do it.
So the thing, weird thing about concert number two is you're going to be seeing a dead man, Conway Twitty.
Yeah.
Like, how is that going to work? They're going to raise Conway Twitty from the grave with black magic?
Maybe you project him on the wall.
Oh, it's a Conway Twitty fucking hologram?
Yeah.
Hologram Conway Twitty.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Conway Twitty.
Conway Twitty.
Or did Conway Twitty fucking transfer his essence into an imperfect clone after he died?
Could be, man. Could be.
I'm going number two. I like Jay-Z. I like Pearl Jam. So that one's a go for me. You know, like, oh man, fucking, is Kenny Rogers alive?
I don't think so.
Damn. So either way, you're getting to see some fucking
He could still be, but he's so old, man.
I typed it into Google, and Google immediately says Kenneth Ray Rogers was an American singer. Past tense. Oh, he died last year on my birthday.
Oh.
Ooh.
He used to have a restaurant in Alabama. He had a line of restaurants that were like
barbecue places.
Like barbecue joints, like Kenny Rogers Roasters.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like the stacks of rotisserie chickens in the windows.
He knew when to fold them. He knew when to hold them. he knew when to walk away.
Plastic surgery.
And so, yeah, I think concert two is my choice. So the thing that Kobe is bringing up, I think, is a problem inherent in almost every single prequel that's ever been made, not just the Star Wars prequel. When you go back to tell the story preceding the previously established, well-known story,
you already know how it's going to end.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, it's not just Star Wars. Like, they did a prequel to Final Fantasy VII, right, called Crisis Core? I think that's what it was called. And you kind of knew where it had to go, right? Yeah. So that's just a problem inherent in prequels in general. And, of course, there are ways to skirt around that. Like, Dave Filoni clearly was not going to let the fate of Ahsoka line up with how everybody thought the fate of Ahsoka was going to line up, right? He was like, over my dead body. Not Ahsoka's dead body, over my dead body.
So fuck plot armor. How about Deus Ex Machina?
But, you know, by and large, I'm a big fan of it because I like Ahsoka, so it doesn't bother me. But yeah, if the prequel trilogy came first, it's kind of hard for me to visualize. Like, I do think Kobe's right where, you know,
it would definitely be a different story and different things would have happened.
I definitely feel like more Jedi would have survived on screen than just Obi-Wan and Yoda. And of course we know now there's a bunch of Jedi that survived, but I do feel like I don't know that there's like a single thread in the multiverse where Ki-Adi-Mundi fucking survives, though. I think he's just straight up dead. Mace Windu probably would have survived. Mace Windu probably would have survived if the prequels were made without the original trilogy existing and casting was the same and it was Samuel L. Jackson playing that role.
Yeah.
Kind of feel like you leave Samuel L. Jackson alive for further adventures.
Oh.
But otherwise, I'm having a hard time really thinking of what would be different. I think a lot would be different, you know? Like, I think, you know, regardless the crux of the story, Anakin turning into the dark side, becoming Darth Vader, betraying the Jedi, I think that all would have stayed the same.
Would the original super reveal of Darth Vader being Luke's father, I don't think you would have ever had that. Because you would already have known it, you know.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that would have, that would change the original trilogy. That would change episodes 4, 5, and 6 for sure. Yeah. But, you know, that's already the way it is now if you watch it chronologically. Like, if you were someone who had never seen Star Wars and somehow had avoided the fucking "no, I am your father" moment from Empire, and you decide to watch Star Wars starting with episode 1
and there's going, no way that moment carries any weight.
It doesn't carry weight. I still think it carries it carries weight and emotion for like, oh shit, he's about to find out what we already know, but it's definitely not the same. It's not a surprise. It's not a reveal at that point. It's different, but I do think it's still like a an important, you hear that? Fucking Eric Struthers has me nervous, and I was about to say a word I know I fuck up all the time, and I skirt fucking dodged around it. I still think it has an important and meaningful moment in the saga if you watch it chronologically, but it's not like the big, huge, holy shit moment that it is if you watch them in release order. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how the prequels would have changed. I mean, it's clear, and this is something that I never really noticed until it was pointed out to me, and I believe it was pointed out in an episode of Steel Wars, or one of his Patreon shows with him and Robbo, where they talk about how the last 10 to 15 minutes of Revenge of the Sith kind of seems like they're just going down a checklist of shit they need to have happen.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's very like, you got
to
hit these
explanations that have to have, except we're just going to include a non-explanation to where she dies of a broken heart.
Well, even that was, I mean, you could even consider that a bit of a fuck up, considering Leia remembers her mom.
That, you know? And the fact that Amidala is one of the most baddest bitches in the galaxy.
But yeah, like, you know, they're like, well, okay, so we got to make sure to wipe C-3PO's memory. We got to do this. We got to do that. You know what I mean? There's a lot of checking off the list that they got to do in the last moments of that movie. And yeah. Something I never noticed. Organa
has got to get the girl. Obi-Wan's got to take the boy.
Yeah.
Got to see Owen and Lars, you know. I mean, Owen and Beru.
Something, like I said, I never even considered until I heard those two dudes talking about it.
That's exactly what it feels like. Check, check, check. Darth Vader comes to life, screams, no.
All right. Let me check my voicemails. I think that's the only ones. I thought we were supposed to have one from Neil, but I don't think he's gotten it in yet.
No.
So I'm sure we'll get it for next week. Not a big deal. All right. Starred. We got some emails, though. This comes from Kim. What's up, Moisture Homies? Quick question. I recently opened a couple of action figures, including a Vintage Collection Mando and a Moff Gideon and a NECA Raff and Casey Jones. Happy with them all, but when they were all side by side, it reminded me of being a kid when I had a toy box that had some He-Man figures, some Joes, some Ewoks, a Visionary, Return of the Jedi Luke with an immediately lost green saber. They could all hang out in Jabba's palace or Castle Grayskull or whatever, despite the size differences. Now, what if we had some kind of interline crossover and it had been the element that the scale of the characters was based on toy line scale? Joes and Star Wars Kenners are similar, but they are hobbits next to Toy Biz X-Men or He-Man or Playmates Turtles. Could you deal with this being represented in animation, comic, or gulp, live action? What lines would be best to mix with Star Wars? I could see some Ninja Turtles getting warped to Mos Eisley and fitting right in, except they'd be like 13 feet tall. I would enjoy a comic or a robot chicken style episode where the scale differences was part of the story. Live action would be hilarious. Keep it tight and ignite the green Kim, the Manitoban Mandalorian.
This sounds like an episode of Robot Chicken.
Yeah. This is a robot chick. That's where I'm most comfortable exploring this idea.
You actually use the toys and the scale difference is, you know, obvious.
Yeah. You know, like crossover toy, like in the toy realm itself, are becoming more popular, I feel like. Like, for instance, this week they announced and started showing off these Power Rangers Ninja Turtle crossover toys.
Mm-hmm.
That look kind of neat, right?
That sounds cool.
Like the different turtles all decked out in Rangers gear and shit.
Well, Ninja Turtles used to do that back in the day anyway, when they were, you know, just trying to make money.
Well, yeah, they had a couple of them. They had the Star Trek crossover.
I had the NHL hockey, one of them. I think I had Hip Hop Michelangelo. I had, you know, I think I had the samurai versions and the baseball guys, you know, like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they did those. But like as far as properties crossing over.
Oh, yeah. I know the Star Trek ones you were talking about.
Yeah, the Star Trek ones. And at some point there was a proposed Ninja Turtles Star Wars crossover.
Because I think I've seen some prototypes.
Yes, I saw those. This year sometime. I found the article here right now, and it's got, like, you know, April as Princess Leia and Michelangelo as Chewbacca and Shredder as Darth Vader, obviously. I would have been so fucking stoked on those as a kid.
Yeah,
man, that would have excited me. And then, I like that kind of stuff. All right, you know, like I liked, back around Revenge of the Sith, they did the Transformers Star Wars crossover toys.
Oh, I don't remember those.
You do?
I don't.
You don't remember the Star Wars Transformers?
No.
Oh.
I don't think I ever had it.
Yeah, I mean, this was... I mean, you would have been in college. This was...
Oh, well, yeah.
Revenge of the Sith time. The only one I ever got was Boba Fett, because it was Boba Fett. But they had, like, a big Millennium Falcon that split into two, and it was, like, a Han Solo Transformer and a Chewbacca Transformer. I remember thinking they're neat. I don't know how well they are remembered or regarded. But as far as the toy realm goes... I think that's a cool idea, and especially if it's like two properties you like Ninja Turtles and Star Wars crossing over, or fucking He-Man and Star Wars crossing over. Like, yeah, I'd be fucking...
I watched all the He-Man stuff on Netflix.
Oh! No spoilers, but what did you think?
Oh, it's pretty good. It's crazy.
I fucking dug it, man.
It's crazy epic. It's dark for He-Man. You know, I mean, I know He-Man's kind of dark in general, but...
I mean,
definitely from the flavor of the original show.
It's definitely darker than you would. Well, I think from the beginning it was sort of pitched as being intended to be for a little bit of an older audience, but
because you can't really take that He-Man story seriously unless you grow it up just a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah, man, I can't wait for the second half. If I could watch that right now, I would quit recording this and go watch it. Like,
it's pretty incredible.
I really like
Mark Hamill is the voice of Skeletor. Is pretty incredible.
He did a really good job. And Sarah Michelle Gellar is Teela.
Yeah, I just hear Buffy. Like, that's all. When I'm watching Teela, I'm like, oh, that's Buffy. No, it's Teela.
I mean, I totally agree. But I didn't mind. You know, I'm a big fan of Buffy Summers.
Yeah, she's kind of down.
All right. Here's an email from Coda. So Cobb Vanth is from Tatooine, and yet he doesn't even know he has Boba's armor. And Din knows how to speak Tusken, and he said he spent time there, but no one knows him. I find that really hard to believe, especially after how the War of the Bounty Hunters comic is hyping up the Solo bounty. You'd think it'd be on the level of Vader, Luke, Leia, and Han. With that said, are some things that you really want to see in Book of Boba? What are some things that you want to see in the Book of Boba? And why do you think, and what, wait, and why do you think will happen? I cannot wait to get a trailer of some kind. As always, love the podcast and have a good one. Coda. I mean, Coda is bringing up, like, he's talking about how, like, Cobb Vanth lives on Tatooine and doesn't know who Boba is. And how, you know, Din Djarin doesn't seem to know who Boba is. And I do kind of get that, right? But that's also kind of how Star Wars rolls a lot of the time. Where, like, okay, A New Hope is, what, 19 years after Revenge of the Sith? And in 19 years, it seems like fucking everybody just forgot the Jedi?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And now then, they're ancient history.
Yeah, and then, you know, The Force Awakens is 30 years after Return of the Jedi or whatever, and Rey thinks Luke Skywalker is a myth. Like, that's kind of, people in Star Wars, in the Star Wars galaxy, they don't have great memories, I guess.
There's clearly a lot of misinformation as it's, it's like a giant game of telephone as information spreads across the galaxy. You may get a version of the truth, but you may not get the whole truth from whoever told you.
So, with the Book of Boba Fett, I am fairly open for whatever they want to do with Boba in that series. Like,
I want to see the scene immediately post Sarlacc swallowing.
I think we get that for sure. I don't see how
that's
you do.
That's just the one that I need to see.
I don't see how you do a Boba Fett centric show and not explain that, right?
Yeah.
I would just like to see, like, the main thing I want to see is more expansion on the version of Boba's character that we got in The Mandalorian. Good right. guy Boba, you know? I think we'll probably see him, if I had to guess, the focus on this story will be a little less galaxy-wide and stuff as The Mandalorian. I don't know that we'll necessarily see Boba strutting around in the galaxy and all this as much as we see Din Djarin, right? I kind of feel like it's going to be like sort of a crime drama in a way where you have warring factions probably coming after Boba for taking over Jabba's throne and stuff. Like, I feel like there are repercussions that Boba's going to have to face for that. You know what I mean?
Well, as soon as you become the big man on campus, you instantly got enemies.
Yes, yes.
Taking the throne means instant enemies.
Yeah. I agree. So I kind of feel like that's what we're going to see. And other than that, I don't really know, and I'm just kind of along for the ride. Like, I've been waiting for this so long that I just want to see what they come up with. And hope that it's real kick-ass. All right, so we got one more email, and then we can call it a night. This one is from Sam. He says, howdy, Lightning Dick and Saber Dick. Now, that is a name I haven't heard in a long time. I hope you fellas have been having a great summer. It sure is hard to believe that Bad Batch is almost finished. Anyways, I'm not sure if you saw that Giancarlo Esposito won an award this week for the best death scene for Gus's death in Breaking Bad. If you could make an award for the best death scene in Star Wars, what would they be? What would your choice outside of the Star Wars franchise be? Thanks, fellas, and keep up the amazing work. Best, Sam. Ooh, who do you think gets best death scene in Star Wars?
Anakin Skywalker's is pretty good.
like in Return of the Jedi?
Yeah.
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 That's a pretty good one.
That scene's pretty powerful.
It sure is.
In the same movie. Yoda's death scene's pretty powerful in that same movie.
It sure is. But man, Yoda looks so comfy, man. If you gotta go, that's good. You gotta go all cuddled up like Yoda, man, looking just comfy. He just closes his eyes and disappears. I would say Darth Vader's is hard to beat.
Obi-Wan Kenobi's is pretty slick. Talk about a hat trick.
It is pretty slick.
I mean, if you're looking for the flashiest David Copperfield death, instantly just like, join the force in front of your eyes.
He looks over at Luke. He gives Luke that look, and then he just holds his saber up. It's pretty badass.
One with the force instantly.
Pretty badass.
Pretty badass.
I remember being real surprised about Darth Maul getting cut in half. Not just because Darth Maul died and I didn't see that shit coming, but because they cut somebody in half in Star Wars. You know,
we had not seen that.
Yeah, I think those are all good options for best Star Wars death. Bib Fortuna, just because I liked seeing that dude get his fucking comeuppance. I fucking hate that dude. Fucking Bib Fortuna with his fucking meth nails and his bad attitude, being rude to everybody.
Time to go.
Time to get out of here. And it was just fucking sweet justice that it was my dude Boba that did it.
In that respect, Jabba the Hutt, kick-ass death scene at the hand of
Princess Leia.
Fuck
yeah, man. That's a real good one, too. Now, best death scenes outside of Star Wars.
Do you know the first one that popped in my mind? Is in Terminator 2, the guy that created the chip, like he's like shot.
Oh, and where he's like,
yeah, he's breathing.
Yeah, that
and
is
then,
a good one.
He's like waiting to blow the bomb until he can't hold it anymore.
Oh, I know one. When Johnny Depp gets eaten by the fucking bed in Nightmare on Elm Street 1.
Oh my goodness.
I don't like Johnny Depp, so that scene really appeals to me.
There you go.
That's mine. Go look up Johnny Depp, Eaten by a Bed, Nightmare Elm Street 1, if you've never seen it.
The one where the one that's got Justin Timberlake and they kill the teenage kid based on real life, that one's messed up.
I don't know. I know what you're talking about. Oh, wait. Is that movie called like Alpha Dog or something?
Yes. Yes, it is. That's
yeah.
It.
I've never seen it. I don't. Not my jam. Not my jam. Like for some reason, I can't get my mind off of horror movies.
Yeah. Cause like, you're going for the juicy ones.
One, like there's another one. This is Friday the 13th, part 6.
You want it? Okay. Yeah.
The first person that gets killed in Friday the 13th, part 6, is played by the actor who played Horshack in Welcome Back, Cotter.
Yeah.
And that character's name is Halls.
Oh.
So, like,
yikes.
You know, when do you ever see a character named Halls in a movie, buddy? Never. But there sure is in Friday the 13th, part 6, and he gets killed by Jason. Let me tell you, I thought that was real cool as a kid. Thought that was real cool.
There is a movie called Bone Tomahawk that is like a Western
brutal.
Horror movie.
I've seen that.
There is a death in that movie that sticks with me to this day. Like, it is so gruesome. And the way they do it is so tough to watch that it sticks in my mind to this day.
Like, that's a movie that
I did not see that coming. I was not expecting that.
That I would constantly scroll past, like, on streaming services and be like, yeah, maybe I'll watch this one day. It's got Jack Shepard in it, and this was before
and
I found out.
Kurt Russell.
Yes, Jack Shepard and Jack Burton, two of my favorite Jacks. And this was before I found out that Matthew Fox, who plays Jack Shepard, is a... he's a bit of a piece of shit. Pizza shit. Before I found that out, so I was like, oh, man. But I was like, I don't know. And then I watched it, and I was like, okay, this movie's brutal. I get it. So yeah, I'm gonna say either the character Halls getting killed in Friday the 13th Part 6. You know, next Friday is a Friday the 13th, and you know what I will be doing is I will be watching Friday the 13th Part 6, probably 4 and 6, because those are my two favorites. That does it, buddy. Let me double check. I don't want to leave anybody out, but it doesn't look like we got a Jim, and doesn't look like Neil. So,
and bro, this just comes to mind, but if death scenes, Band of Brothers or Saving Private Ryan, both of those are like emotionally traumatic death scenes. There are some ones in there. Talking about World War II.
Yeah. So, I think that does it for us, buddy. Thanks for recording with me and going through the Dirty Dick saga with me.
Hey, man, as long as you wash it, you got nothing to worry about.
I do, man. I do.
I know. You've established that.
I do.
We've gone over that.
Like, I look, the fucking bad motivators are coming at me hardcore, man. And the last thing I need, they're talking about making a website called hallsflaws.com that just lists all the words I can't say correctly.
What?
And the last thing I need is for them to be like, oh, well, you know, he's got a dirty dick. Like, I don't need these fucking motivators having any more fucking ammo against me, man.
You're not a dirty dick, man.
Yeah.
And then every time I've ever been around your dick, it smells fantastic.
And then fucking Luke Cruiser be texting me being like, you want to play some Halo 5 sometime? And I'm like, I don't know, man. You want to go to hallsflaws.com and see if I can pronounce Halo 5 correctly? You want to do that first? Huh? 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 Is that what you want to do? We're about to have to blow the war horn, Will.
The war mantle?
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking the dirty dick war horn. We're going to have to blow it. I can't be held responsible for the consequences that befall the bad motivators. Okay. Cruiser and Struthers, you're on thin fucking ice, my dude.
You're playing with dirty fire.
You're playing with dirty dick fire over here. You hear that clicking in the background? That's anxious wheelchair wheel clicking. That's what's happening. Okay. I can't be held responsible. Don't push me, because I'm close to the edge.
It.
I'm trying not to lose my head. So we'll see you guys next week. We'll be talking about the first part of the Bad Batch finale, whatever else happens. I'm going to go take a shower. This will be my second one today, but now I'm all self-conscious. I can hear it now.
Tiny
Eric Struthers. My dick is clean. Hall's got a dirty dick. Hall's Burkhart got a dirty dick. He says it alkalite. Alkalite.
It definitely brings a new definition to a dirty water dog.
Oh, Will, you know how you installed Master Chief Collection?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
We gotta sneakily watch for when Cruiser's online.
All right.
And then we get in matches against him. And we show him who's Hall's flaws.
I'll show you the flaws.
I'll show you the flaws.
The flaws of Hall's.
You get two hits. You hit me and my dirty dick hits the ground. thanks for listening, guys. This one, hey man, I'm not feeling well this week. I'm on antibiotics, drinking unsweetened cranberry juice, compulsively showering. Just, it's been a rough one. So thanks for hanging out.
And you're clean on the inside and the outside.
Yeah, man, it's a full body detail. Take it to the car wash, get it waxed. We'll talk to you guys next week. Until then, this has been Blue Harvest. I'm Halls Burkhart.
And I'm Will Whitten.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with all of you.
May the Force be with us.